We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
A college basketball podcast for fans, by fans. Hey, this is Stephen Hartzell, host of College Sports Now. Join us throughout the season when we talk hoops with some of the biggest names in the game. Coaches, writers, players, we'll go coast to coast. We'll give you some of the best college basketball content as only we can on CSN. Follow along on Twitter at @CSNowTweets. And don't forget, you can subscribe to College Sports Now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome into another edition of Inside Southern Miss Athletics, our weekly look kind of behind the scenes of what's going on in Golden Eagle Athletics. Got a good show for you today. First, we'll start off in a moment with Jeremy McClain, our director of athletics. We'll also spend some time with men's basketball coach Jay Ladner, and also Brad Smith will stop by, the senior associate AD for external operations. I'm John Cox, and let's get it started with Jeremy McClain, our director of athletics. And Jeremy, can't start without really talking about basketball. The basketball team, Jay Ladner's ball club, sitting there right now as we talk, with a record of 19-4, 8-2 in the Sun Belt. Joy Lee McNellis and the Lady Eagles, despite some early injuries, are right in the thick of things. I think they're in second place right now in the Sun Belt. So basketball really going well right now.
Yeah, really excited, John, for both of our programs. Obviously, you mentioned the men first. It's been so much fun to watch them come together so quickly and play at a high level, and really got a great opportunity in front of them to continue to set a really high mark, set some records, and do some things that haven't been done in a long time. So excited about what Coach Ladner and his staff have done, and it's a fun team to watch. I think the thing for me personally, as I've had a chance to kind of watch them throughout the years, they play so extremely hard, and they're just fun to be around. They're good people and easy to pull for, and just have enjoyed the watching them be successful. And then, like you said, on the women's side, had a little bit of a slow start to non-conference play because we had some injuries and we're trying to kind of figure out the rotation there. But Joy Lee's done a great job of getting us to a place where really, especially in conference play, although we've got a couple of losses, we've had a bunch of really close games. And so been competitive in every single game, won some close ones, lost a couple of close ones, and just really are in a very positive position to try to make a run down the stretch here to, and of course both teams are, the first thing you're trying to play for is to win the regular season and get the best seed you can, get the number one seed. to earn a bye in the tournament, which really is a big deal when you start looking at the bracket and how it's set up. Being one of those top teams is a critical piece to trying to win that championship.
I've been around the men's team, obviously, more than I have the women's team, but I don't know if I've been around a team that enjoys being in the gym and playing basketball more than the guys that are playing for Jay right now.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, how easy that is to detect, right? Even as a casual fan, if you watch them play, it doesn't take you long to figure out they really enjoy each other and like playing with each other, and they're the same way in practice, right, in the locker room and everything you see and hear about their interactions. And, you know, and I think they've been great with the community. They've embraced, you know, the kids at the games and our fan base, and have spent time with them after the game. And I think that's gone a long way to really making that connection with the community. And again, it's been really enjoyable to see.
I really haven't paid much attention to the numbers, but it looks like from a crowd wise and an attendance wise, both the men and the women are probably doing better than they have in a long time.
Yeah, I think both of them have, you know, again, as you win, right, people begin to pay attention, and you may have a casual fan who starts to come on a little more regular basis, and we've obviously seen that for some of our home games and for both programs. And, you know, that's my wish and hope down the stretch here for both programs, is that we continue to show up and support them and really push them down the home stretch here, like I said, to finishing strong and getting a quality seed in the tournament and giving us the best chance to be successful.
One of the neat things about this too is that even though it's about a month away, the conference tournament is only about 3 hours away. So for the first time in a long time, very easy for Golden Eagle fans around this part of the country to be there in Pensacola for the conference tournament.
Yeah, a lot of positives about the transition to the Sun Belt, but one of those is the conference tournament being in close proximity, not only to Hattiesburg, but we've got so many alums, you know, in the Mobile Panhandle area, that it is an easy drive, and fully expect to have great crowds in Pensacola, and look forward to, you know, you got both tournaments there together in the same place and scheduled in a way that, you know, you can come and again, if we get good seeds, you can come late in the week and stay all the way until Monday, till the finals, and make a full weekend out of it. So really excited about the tournament being in Pensacola and what that means for our fan base.
You probably know more about this than I do. I don't know that there is another league that plays with a double bye that allows a team to, you know, basically jump way ahead into the tournament without playing, but that's one of the unique features of the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I think there are a few out there that do that, and we actually, about 6 or 7 years ago, when I was in the league, you know, we went to a situation where we wanted to reward and protect, you know, the higher seeds. And really it was about, okay, how do we put them in a situation where they can be successful? Because if your best programs win your tournament, you know, if your best basketball teams win your tournament, then their seed in the NCAA tournament is going to be better. And so, you know, and this is there's no real secret to this. If you go in as a 15 seed versus a 12 or a 13, your opponent, the level of your opponent is drastically different. And your chances of winning begin to shift and change. And so really it's about protecting your better basketball programs, giving them a chance, giving them the best chance to win the tournament, and then hopefully getting a higher seed as they go into the NCAA tournament.
And right now the guys are tied for first in the league. The Lady Eagles are right there in second place. So would that be nice, our first year in the league, to have both the men and the women be the top seeds in the tournament?
Yeah, it's been a great start. You know, the entire year in the league has been really good from a competitive standpoint. And so this is, you know, just carried over to basketball. And so to be in a position to be here in, you know, beginning of February talking about both of our teams having a shot to win a regular season is something to be very proud of. And I appreciate the work that's been put in by coaching staffs and our student athletes and all our support staff to get us in that position. Like I said, we need to show up at Reed Green for both of these programs down the stretch and make sure we give them every chance to be successful.
All right, we're visiting with our director of athletics, Jeremy McClain, as we go inside Southern Miss Athletics. Well, about the time almost a week, I guess, maybe, or four, I guess, baseball season starts at Southern Miss, and season tickets have, I guess, almost run out of season tickets. It's been amazing, the response from Golden Eagle fans, and probably even some people who aren't Golden Eagle fans, to buy tickets because they know that's the place you want to be, Pete Taylor Park.
Yeah, it's incredibly exciting to think about, you know, selling that many season tickets and be in a position where, hey, we may sell out for the entire year. And that's pretty awesome, and not a lot of places can say that. And so for many, many years, we've had a very strong fan base when it comes to baseball, and just the opportunity to continue to grow that has been a lot of fun. And, you know, and I get the question often, and I understand it. You know, people want to ask me about expanding to Pete, and I hear you loud and clear. And so we are working on plans to try to do some of that. As I've said with some of our planning, we get one opportunity to do this. I want to be very careful and thoughtful about how we do it. So we're not going to add a bunch of makeshift seats. We'll map out a plan and try to, you know, make some additions to the Pete. And so we'll have some things. We already have some things on paper. We'll have some things kind of more concrete as we move forward in the spring. And so, we're working on that. And we definitely love the fact that we've got to speed that process up and try to get to a place where we can find more places to sit.
A lot of fun, too, though, when you read some of the guys that cover college baseball around the country, whether it be TV, radio, newspaper, on the Internet. Southern Miss is now always in that conversation, and that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, it is. It is. To think about, you know, it's not – now it's the norm, right, for us to be talked about, be a top 25 team, be a team that the experts talk about competing to go to Omaha. And, you know, and I hope we don't ever take that grip for granted, because there's a lot of effort that's been made there. And, you know, from Pete Taylor to Hill Denson to Corky to Scott, having coaches who really poured themselves into this program, you know, I want to talk about Scott for a minute. What he's done during his tenure, you know, is just phenomenal. To continue to elevate a program that was already at a really high level when he took it over, but to continue to elevate it and put us in a position where we are part of that discussion. You know, I hope we don't ever take that for granted. And Scott does a fantastic job, and we're very blessed to have him leading this program, and just thankful for where we're at.
I know there's very few programs in the country where the head coach, you might find him out on a tractor with a lawnmower, with, you know, not necessarily a baseball bat all the time. He just loves everything about Pete Taylor Park, Golden Eagle baseball, and Southern Miss.
He does, and you're right. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty, and always has. He's always been hands-on with the leadership of this program, and I gave him a hard time when we put the artificial synthetic surface down. That he wasn't going to be able to do as much raking and whatnot, but he was okay with that, I think. But he's not afraid to get his hands dirty and be really entrenched in what's happening with the program. And Scott has really, like I said, he and his family have poured into this program over the years, and we're very thankful. I'm very thankful, and we're very blessed to have him leading.
Having a discussion with our director of athletics, Jeremy McClain, as we go inside Southern Miss athletics. A few more minutes with Jeremy on today's podcast. Softball is also another sport that's really garnering some attention. Natalie Poole is doing a great job. I don't know if rebuilding is the right word, but maybe kind of making this program take another step, the way she's kind of putting things together. And I'm excited about what they're going to do this year.
Yeah, me too. I've been really impressed with Natalie and her staff, kind of out of the gate, what they've done this fall and kind of how they've approached recruiting, how they've approached the engagement at the community level. Just really impressed with how they've gone about their business. And I know, you know, first year, transition year, they'll from a roster standpoint, we're pretty young in some areas. But we have some returning players, too, that played significant innings and started quite a bit for us. There's a mix of new faces and returners, too. And so I know the non-conference schedule and the early part of the year would be very important, trying to figure out roles for them. But just excited for them and what that looks like moving forward. And it's right around the corner, but look forward to seeing them get an opportunity to get out there and compete.
We've had some success in women's softball, and there has been a lot of attention. But Natalie, looks like she has gone out and almost personally invite anybody that wants to come be a part of. Come on, we want you to be a part of Lady Eagle softball.
Yeah, she gets it, and I'm thankful for that. She really understands, you know, the need to be connected to the community, and I think she and I've had this discussion. We've got a great opportunity in softball here to really take a step forward. Like you said, John, there's history here. And we've got an opportunity to get to a place where, because I think people will absolutely embrace the program if we can get in a position where, again, we're competing, you know, for championships in a very, very good softball league in the Sun Belt. And so, well, that's our goal, obviously, is to continue to work to get to that point. And I think if we do, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's funny, every time you talk about a sport, the Sun Belt is involved, because the Sun Belt has a great tradition of not just the normal football or basketballs or baseballs. All the sports up and down the line have been successful in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, you bet. And especially as you think about the diamond sports as we enter the spring, you know, you think about all the programs and on the baseball side that have, you know, been to regionals and super regionals and World Series. And, you know, we've got a World Series champion in Coastal Carolina in the league. And so just a really deep baseball league, and it's going to be fun week in and week out. And then on the softball side, too, it was just a couple of years ago where the Sun Belt sent four teams to the NCAA regionals. And you got JMU coming in, you know, that was in the World Series a couple of years ago. And so just this really a lot of history when you think about the diamond sports. And it's exciting to think about just how good this league can be in both of those sports. And I think we got a great chance to be a top five conference in the country in both of them.
This next month, basketball, very important for our fans to continue to fill up Reed Green Coliseum, both the men and the women, because that could be the push they need to really make this a special year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that the crowd has really helped the men in some of these really tough battles at home. And so, if you're going to be successful in basketball at a high level, you have to win your home games, right? And so a crowd makes a world of difference in basketball more than any other sport. And so to be in a situation where we're positioned well on the men's and women's side down the stretch, we need folks to fill up Reed Green to create the right atmosphere and to really help our teams get over the hump and finish strong.
All right, well, keep up the good work. It's going to be a great month of February, I think, for Golden Eagle Athletics. So thanks for the visit, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, John.
All right, Jeremy McLean, our Director of Athletics, nice enough to take us inside Southern Miss Athletics. When we come back, we'll talk Golden Eagle basketball with Coach Jay Ladner. Jay's up next. This is Inside Southern Miss Athletics.
Your one stop for all college sports is the Varsity app and the brand new Varsity Network website, thevarsitynetwork.com. Keep up with your favorite teams and the rest of college sports, no matter where you are, with thevarsitynetwork.com. Live and on-demand broadcasts, your favorite college-centric podcasts, with stories and video around college sports and your favorite teams. Be sure to download the Varsity app and check out the brand new Varsity Network website, thevarsitynetwork.com.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And welcome, everybody, as we continue to go inside Southern Miss Athletics. Going to turn our attention to Golden Eagle basketball and visit with the head coach of the Golden Eagles, Coach Jay Ladner. And Jay, the Golden Eagles heading into this week really off to a great start, 19-4, sitting in there, I guess, 8-2 in the Sun Belt Conference. You gotta be excited about what you're seeing. One, about what you're seeing out of your guys, but two, the way people in the community are starting to respond to what the Golden Eagle basketball team is doing.
John, I couldn't be more excited, and to see it happen in such a short window, and I don't mean over the course of year. I mean over the course of the last couple of years. Of course, we haven't had a lot of success, but to see it happen so fast inside the course of a season, I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like that. So we've gone from several hundred, probably at our exhibition game to the last four games, we've had over 4,100 plus, over 4,300 at one of the games, 4,200 two, and I think just over 4,100 third or the fourth, and not in particular order, but those, and I was told by our SID, those were the four biggest crowds we've had in the last 9 years. That's part of it, but not only are they coming to sit in the seats, it's that engagement. I love Reed Green Coliseum. John, you love Reed Green Coliseum. We both have been and seen many good teams come in there and lose, and a lot of it has to do with the proximity of the fans to the floor, how loud it gets in there, and I think it's a perfect fit for this particular team because of this particular team's style of play that relies on a lot of defensive pressure. And you know, playing defense, the average fan may not realize this, is not something that most players naturally like to do. The good ones understand the importance of it. And of course, the good teams are all going to be great defensive-oriented, defensive-minded teams, and I don't care what sport it is. But we rely on not only just defense, but a pressure defense, and really getting up and pressuring the ball, pressure in passing lanes, full-court press, an exciting way to play. And requires a lot of players to play, and of course we do play a lot of guys, but the fans are making a direct impact on our success, and we contend. Of course, we've only got three more home games, but we need them so badly the rest of the way. But I'm very, very thankful for what they've done too. But it has been exciting. The whole atmosphere in Reed Green, of course, goes along with the team winning, has all come together.
Probably the best student turnout and the best student involvement we've had in basketball in a long, long time.
Well, it's certainly since I've been here. I can't really speak too much to what was happening here before I was here. Of course, I was chasing, you know, I was in other positions at other schools and wasn't able to attend very many games. But I know this, that we've had a very, very large student turnout. And that's encouraging. That's part of the, you know, I'll tell people all the time, that's part of the student experience of coming to college, you know, and going to games. But it there's a lot of, John, there's a lot of smiles. I see that, and I see the hugging and the high-fiving and, you know, all that stuff that comes with winning, and especially, you know, for a team that has kind of been down on its luck the last couple of years, you know. For that kind of spirit to return and to return so quickly has just been very exciting.
I don't know if it was on purpose, but you've recruited some guys and brought them into this program that really kind of prospered in that Golden Eagle style of play you wanted to play defensively, pressure defense and fast break basketball, kind of what we've been used to at Southern Miss.
Well, one of the things that we were trying to be very intentional about in our recruiting this past offseason. And here's several things. We wanted to get older. We wanted to get guys that had more experience. I watched last year. Of course, we seemed to be so young compared to the people that we were playing. So we wanted to get older if possible. Of course, every year you want to try to improve your overall talent level. We had some very good players last season. We just didn't have quite as many as we needed. This year we've got a lot of good players, and we're able to play with a lot more depth, which adds, John, to exactly what you're saying. We just haven't had the numbers to really get up there and press, because, of course, sometimes when you do that, you're going to probably foul a little bit more. And of course, we could never afford to get certain people in foul trouble, so we had to play a little more conservatively. Of course, not the way that we would want to play, but we finally got the right roster available to be able to play that we wanted to play. And, of course, I like our our coaching staff adds to it as well. They coach just as hard as the players play. And anybody that's seen us will know exactly what I'm talking about. So I know it struck a nerve, I'm sure, for people that are listening to this podcast. But and of course, you mentioned players, you know, a great combination of returning players with experience, DeAndre Pinkney, Mo Arnold, Denaje Harris, Jeff Armstrong, of course, Tate Ryder, Trey Alfonso, guys that are coming back from last year's team. Hope I didn't leave anybody out there. And then, of course, you get some new guys in there. Mo Arnold, that'd be the first one I should have mentioned. And you get new guys like a Neftali Alvarez, who's just coming back from an injury. Of course, a Felipe Hase, Donovan Ivory, Austin Crowley, Nico Aguirre, Marcelo Perez, Pipo Grafals. I mean, you start looking it down there. Victor Hart, you know, Victor's a great athlete for a big guy. Tyler Mormon's one of our returning guys. And all those guys taste the floor. But the good thing about it is they bought into our way of playing. And again, I think it's an exciting, fan-friendly, but sound on the other side, sound and fits perfectly. I think it fits perfectly to our Southern Miss culture and tradition. I think it fits. The fans like to see it. They like that aggressiveness, very similar to our Nasty Bunch, John, in football. You know, back in the 70s, 80s, of course, Coach Carmody just passed away, Big Nasty. But I think Coach Carmody would like the way that we play defense. I do, because they were always attacking and very aggressive, and that kind of sets the tone not only on the defensive end, it actually sets the tone on the offensive end force as well.
Visiting with our head basketball coach, Jay Ladner, as we go inside Southern Miss Athletics. Talk, if you would, I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but talk about your coaching style. It's maybe a little different than your dad's, maybe a little bit different than Coach Turk. Maybe it's a combination of the two of them. Who are some other guys that have had an impact on the way you coach a basketball game?
Well, certainly, John, I've been impacted by a lot of people, not all basketball coaches. I've learned a lot from football. Watching football coaches but you know, we're talking about the people that have had a direct impact, and I'm going to leave some people out. There's just no question in my mind. I didn't prepare for this particular question, but I'm certainly glad to talk about. First and foremost, of course, is my dad, former high school basketball coach, but a person that had a lot of impact on basketball in Mississippi in terms of teaching and training coaches. He's given his life to really the people in Mississippi professionally, and first and foremost, I would have to say Coach, or my dad, and then of course Coach Turk. I had the chance to play for Coach Turk here. I learned so much from Coach, and you know, one of the things about Coach, of course, and I didn't appreciate as much as when I was playing for him as I did after, and I appreciated playing for him, but of course we had a lot of success. But after the fact, you look back, once I began my coaching career, and of course he and I probably developed a stronger relationship after I left. Because I didn't appreciate certain things as a player after I left. And again, we always had a good, strong relationship anyway. But I learned so much about Coach, about his promotion of the program all the time, his willingness to change. I could give him very specific examples about style of play change in 1984 from 1984 to 85 that fit the particular team that we had, of course, that went on and did great things. Of course, I'd have to give my high school coach, Harry Breland, an iconic coach here in Mississippi in baseball and basketball. Of course, I played both sports. Richard Williams has been a great impact on me, the great coach at Mississippi State. Learned a lot of basketball. Very technical oriented Coach Williams is. He has a math background. He's a math teacher, and he that's why one of the reasons I think he was so good technically, and I think still think one of the best X and O guys in the history of Division I. You know, I name a bunch of people. I can name some high school coaches. Dean Shaw at Picayune. I learned a lot. A great high school coach. Brian Caldwell, Burt Jenkins, Gerald Austin at Gulfport, Jackie Laird at Biloxi, Arthur Haynes at Moss Point. These were high school coaches, and again, I'm leaving out so many people, but these were people that I've kind of borrowed and stolen things from as I've coached, you know. So those guys have always been had great impact on me. Tim Floyd. You know, think about Tim Floyd. I talked to Coach a good bit, and of course, Coach's dad was a legend here. So, and I'm leaving, John. I'm telling you, I've stolen so much from so many people. I can't give them enough enough credit, but those are people that just right off the top of my head real quickly to answer this question that I've borrowed, stolen from, and I'm very thankful and grateful for.
All right, let's turn our attention to what's coming up for the Golden Eagles. A road trip coming up here in just a few days. We'll be at Troy on Thursday night, at Georgia State on Saturday afternoon. And down the stretch, this final half of the Sun Belt Conference schedule is going to be tough, but great opportunity for the Golden Eagles.
Troy's one of the best teams in the league. And, John, gosh dang, it feels like forever since we played them. It's been about 5 weeks ago, right? But that's how hard fought this league is. And you and I both predicted it before it started, how it appeared that it was going to be incredibly balanced, and there's not a lot of difference between first and last. And I'll give you two examples. In the two polls that we saw, we were 14th in one, and Louisiana Monroe was 13th. In another poll, those spots, we moved all the way up to 13th, and they dropped to 14th. And they're right up there. They're one game out of first place, and we're tied for first, and we were both picked 13th and 14th in the league, if that just gives you an idea of the balance of the league. So there's still a lot of jockeying going on. No one is running away with it. Nobody's going to run away with it, and you have to bring your A game every night or you're going to get beat. Go back to Troy. We played Troy 5 weeks ago. Then in our first Sun Belt history of the Sun Belt Conference of our basketball, we – I played our first conference game against them here at home and eked out a win. And not that we played poorly. We played actually pretty well and struggled to beat a really good team, very well-coached team, like most of the teams in our league are, very talented team, physical. And I told our players after that game, I said, guys, just giving you, you know, something to think about as we move forward, because it's going to come around pretty quick. I said, Troy going to be a tough out. We go over there, so we're going to have to be ready. And our players understand that. They've responded every time, but they know that we got a great challenge. And, of course, then we'll leave right after, you know, right from there, John, go to Atlanta. Of course, you'll be with us and drive to Atlanta from Troy. I have no idea. I've never been to Troy to play a game, and I've never been to Georgia State to play a game. So those are going to be new experiences for me personally. But I do know that both of those teams are hard. Any Division I road game is hard. I don't care who you're playing. You could play the worst team in Division I. It is hard to win on the road. So we're going to have to be ready to go. We're going to have to defend. We're going to have to control the tempo, and we're going to have to shoot free throws and get to the foul line and figure out a way to get to the foul line and make those free throws to have a chance to win.
All right, final couple of minutes with our head basketball coach, Jay Ladner, as Eagles get set to head off on a road trip to Troy and Georgia State, two big Sun Belt Conference ball games. What do you – maybe the one thing you want to see this team maybe do a little bit better that they need to do down the stretch to kind of accomplish some of your goals?
I think, John, we've got to do we're kind of in a situation – with Neftali Alvarez coming back, he has not played since the first week of the season. Of course, now he's back. He's beginning to get his sea legs under him, so to speak. Of course, he's a dynamic player, and it's exciting to get him back. But our flow, a little bit of our flow is disrupted, and if you can use a football analogy, it'd be like a starting quarterback that went out the first game, and then all of a sudden he's cleared to play without practicing. Again, the type of injury that he had would not allow him to be cleared to practice. And basically, once he got cleared after just a couple of days, we started playing. So there was a lot of addition strategically, tactically, to what we were doing from that Vanderbilt game, you know, until three games ago when he began to play. So our flow's disrupted a little bit. What we've got to do is get him, and it's happening quickly. Trust me, it's happening daily. Get him back up to speed, because he is such a dynamic impact on our team. With his conditioning, with his knowledge of the game, of our schemes offensively and defensively, and of course the cohesion among the players out there. He's an incredibly unselfish player. He's actually made some incredible assists here just in the last couple of games. And so I think if we could do that, and again kind of reform our cohesion, and it was a natural interruption, and it was something that can't be avoided, and it's a good thing. But that's the one thing I think that's our most pressing need at this point.
All right. Well, it's going to be a good trip. I know that. Let's still get a couple of wins at Troy and Georgia State. Keep up the good work. Thanks for the visit, and looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun down the stretch.
John, I appreciate being on your show, and really, really do. Always an honor being iconic John Cox show.
Well, I wish I had some sort of a door prize I could, you know, give you for being on there, but no gifts, no parting gifts of any kind. Jay Ladner, head basketball coach here at Southern Miss, nice enough to take us inside Southern Miss Athletics. When we come back, we'll talk with Brad Smith, the Senior Associate AD for External Operations, about promotions and all kinds of things that are going on here at Southern Miss. Brad will join us when we come back. This is Inside Southern Miss Athletics.
Southern Miss fans, for more unique Golden Eagles content, subscribe to the official USM podcast, Inside Southern Miss Athletics. Hosted by the voice of the Golden Eagles, John Cox, hear from a variety of different guests and their stories as John dives deep on their connection to the university through athletics and the community. You can also find archived coaches shows. Search Inside Southern Miss Athletics on the Varsity Podcast Network. It's also on Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher.
And welcome back, everybody, as we continue to go inside Southern Miss Athletics. Going to turn our attention now to Brad Smith. Brad, the Senior Associate Athletic Director for External Operations at Southern Miss, and nice enough to sit down with us today. All right, first of all, before we get too involved, for somebody who wonders what that title means, the Senior Associate AD for External Operations, what exactly does that cover? What are some things that you're over and in charge of?
Well, it really means I wear a lot of many different hats. So, but first off, you know, really, you know, we handle the marketing, the advertising, all the digital content, any of the social media, really storytelling of the athletic department. You know, we have oversight over the ESPN broadcasts as well. So just really anything externally, marketing, branding, the university and athletic department really falls underneath that shop.
When you first got into this business, how much has that changed? I would think a lot from when you, the old days, it was buy a few commercials, put some ads in the paper. Now it's a lot of stuff involved in it.
Yeah, all that, you know, traditional marketing, you know, from TV spots to radio ads, and then it kind of evolved into doing some print, you know, special outdoor billboards when those became more prevalent out in the communities, and then, you know, into graphic design work, video storytelling now has evolved into also then putting that on digital media and our social media as well. So it's really evolved to that and coming off up from your TV onto another screen, which is mobile with your phone there. So kind of how do we create those different types of graphics and storytelling images that are aesthetically pleasing not only to the eyes on your phone, but also when you're driving around town as well. So, but still, you know, it really goes back to one thing too, is grassroots marketing. It's still the number one marketing. Word of mouth is still works. And when your teams are doing well and people are talking about it, it helps your marketing become a little bit easier for you.
How do you tell that it's working? Is it as simple as just how many people come to a ball game or come to an event, or are there other ways you kind of measure the effect that you're having?
Yeah, there's a couple ways you can measure it. You know, one, obviously, we like to take credit sometimes for people in the stands, obviously, but obviously winning and the coaching staff and the student athletes do a lot of that work, which is amazing, the amazing work that they do. But the people behind the scenes are also working hard to make sure that we get people out in the stands. But, you know, measuring, that's usually our scoreboard, is looking at attendance numbers. That's one. Two is, you know, digital impressions through social media. Seeing our likes and retweets, but also on our YouTube channel, seeing all the people watching it and also watching it on our ESPN Plus broadcast. So there's a lot of measurable numbers that we track. We look at that data, see what really works for us, where should we put our marketing dollars into. And so all of that's easily tracked and helps us tell our story.
Well, that story is being told by, I don't know how many, it seems like there's more every day, but 10 or 12 young men and women who are students at Southern Miss who, you know, are involved in that and come up with a lot of great ideas that maybe you and I or some older folks would never think of, but they've got some unique ways. They're finding a way to touch Golden Eagle fans and get them involved in what's going on.
Yeah, I'm still young at heart. So, but a lot of my staff there, of course, they're younger, but they have a unique perspective as well from the younger market that we're trying to reach, that Generation Z market, in other words. So I come from the Generation X market, so a lot of our fans that have the additional discretionary income to come out and buy season tickets and travel to a lot of our ball games. But from a younger perspective, we have our graduate assistant program, which really does a lot of wonderful work for us, especially through our athletic communications department. through our creative content and through our marketing department. And you know, and I like to brag on our team. I think we have one of the best teams in the country. They're right here in Hattiesburg. And I keep going back to the storytelling, but it also, there's a lot of momentum surrounding the athletic department. And I think that's kind of the buzzword that we're using moving forward, and in having our staff be able to tell that story through that momentum is really helpful.
One way I guess you measure that is by, well, when your teams are winning and people are coming, but there's other ways I guess you measure that, because that's not always the way I guess you can find out if it's working, because obviously it's working at Southern Miss.
It is, and we see that also in the ticket office and development staff. They're working really hard as well. And you know, it was evident this past football season when we got to 10,000, sold 10,000 football season tickets. That was a milestone mark for us, which is something that we want to continue to tell that story. And we averaged over 24,000 fans per home game with that as well. So I think a lot of that momentum that you'll hear me talk about a lot kind of started back, really started back in the spring during baseball season, when we hosted back-to-back tournaments, and then hosting the regional and then earning the berth to host the super regional. So I don't think we've reached a tipping point yet. We're getting that way, but we've got a lot of momentum, especially whenever we ran into we became a member of the Sun Belt Conference on July 1st, and then, of course, that momentum carried into football season. And now you're really seeing the momentum carrying into the basketball season with our men's basketball program and women's basketball programs.
Brad Smith visiting with us. Brad's a senior associate AD for external operations here at Southern Miss. You mentioned the Sun Belt Conference. That's been a great plus for Southern Miss, the university, and the athletic program. And we're starting to really see some of the benefits of that in basketball season with bigger and bigger crowds. We saw it in football. We're going to see it in baseball and all the other sports. So the Sun Belt's been a big boost to Southern Miss.
You know, it has been, and we've been really intentional on increasing our national exposure, and one of those ways was joining the Sun Belt Conference with all the natural tie-ins and everything being on the ESPN family and network. So that's been really helpful. Not only, and you saw that during football season where we had five nationally televised games, including the bowl game, you know, and then Frank Gore Jr. rushing for 329 yards. He garnered a lot of media and national media attention that way. So increasing our national footprint and exposure is very important to us. And then, of course, it's carried into basketball season with our men's basketball team being 19-4 and getting a lot of media attention nationally as well. And, you know, of course, baseball being ranked coming into the preseason too. So, and then, you know, everything being on ESPN and having that relationship, and Lee Field and our group there does a wonderful job being on ESPN Plus to help us continue that momentum and continue that exposure that we're looking for.
Success on the basketball court, both the men and women, and we're seeing more people come to Green Coliseum than we have in a long, long time. Obviously, the wins help, but if you've got the great marketing program to go along with it, that combination can really be successful.
It has been. We've seen it, you know, last year in our, we averaged about 2,000 fans per home game, and we're kind of seeing that over the last four home games, eclipsing over 4,200 fans per home game, which, you know, a lot of winning has to do a lot of, with that too, but also our marketing staffs are working really, really hard trying to get the students out to the games. You know, if you can find that silver bullet to get the students out to the games, you're kind of really on to something there. So, you know, we had free pizza that we gave out, Food Works. That's worked time and time again to try to get the students out, so that's been helpful. You know, we hosted an international night last week in collaboration with the International Studies as well. We've got three players on the roster that are Chilean, and it's awesome to see in the student section them holding up the Chilean flags. You know, they're supporting them, and that's been really cool to see, and our fans supporting those players too. So just that natural camaraderie there, and plus seeing our student athletes go into the stands to see our students at the game and kind of join in on the fun with that is very supportive. So that goes a long way too.
There's a lot of things involved in it. One, you got to get them there. But once you get them there, one, the team's got to have some success. But two, it's got to be a fun experience where they tell their friends, hey, you need to come with me next time, because that's the place we want to be. Green Coliseum, Pete Taylor Park, Roberts Stadium, whatever the case might be.
Yeah, you know, our marketing and content creation team, they do an amazing job, as I mentioned earlier. Damian Duff's our director of marketing, and we've got three other graduate assistants, Matt, Brian, and Riley. They're all in the marketing department. As well as Jeremy Childress with our creative content teams, and Zach Johnson with video, and Scott Smith with video, kind of telling that story too. So that's been impressive to kind of see some of those ideas come to life. And, you know, we meet weekly about what we can do to try to increase fan support and try to get the students out. We've got some really neat opportunities coming up here, especially on February 9th. We're hosting Louisiana, so that's going to be a huge game for us. So we've got a lot of activities planned for that as well.
Brad Smith visiting with us. He is the Senior Associate Athletic Director for External Operations here for Southern Miss Athletics. Baseball, we saw an amazing experience last year. Baseball, the conference tournament, the regional, the super regional at the same time. We saw the brand new video board come to life at Pete Taylor Park that really was a tremendous tool to kind of add to that experience of being at Pete Taylor Park in college baseball.
Yeah, you know, with the addition of the lights as well, the new field turf, and of course the new video board out there, fan experience has been something that we've put a lot of work into, a lot of time into it as well. Our marketing staff's really working hard with that too, as well as our creative content teams and our communications department as well. So, you know, we're over 3,500 season tickets for baseball, which is unbelievable. We're very close to selling that out. And as we speak, we're about 400 season tickets away from selling out Pete Taylor Park. And I know that's a vision that was cast years and years back, and now we're kind of seeing that come to fruition, which has been awesome to see. But winning helps with that. That's, I think that's really contributed to sustained success over 20 years. A lot of what our student athletes are doing on the field too to help us continue to win like that. So, but we've got some really cool things planned as well. Can't really talk about those at this moment, but we do have some really cool things planned for opening day and throughout the season. But one thing that I really need to mention to everyone too is, you know, there's 400 standing room only tickets left. If you want to come down to a game at Pete Taylor Park, you've got to get one of those. Mm-hmm. Because what we're getting to the point of, we may not have any tickets as you walk up there to come out to a game. So showing that support and getting other people, inviting people out to the games and buying those season tickets will be really helpful for us, help us sell out the Pete.
We are really lucky here at Southern Miss that we've got head coaches on both the men's and the women's side who are very into doing whatever they can do to promote their particular sports. And that's kind of neat. I'm not sure that happens everywhere, but our coaches are really involved in doing whatever they need to do to get people at the ballpark or the arenas, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you know, it goes nearly every coach we have here on campus is really open to any kind of marketing ideas that we have. You know, sometimes they come to us with ideas too. We try to implement those too, but you know, they're really open to suggestions, which is not a lot of places are like that. A lot of coaches, some are heavily involved, others aren't heavily involved. But it's been really good to have that relationship and that culture. And I think really when you treat people right, you've got some really good people, sometimes the marketing can take care of itself.
Brad, what does somebody need to know if I'm a Golden Eagle fan that's sitting out there, and maybe I've been before, maybe I haven't been before, but what's kind of your message to them about give it a try, and that maybe if you like it, you'll fall in love with it and, you know, really become even more involved than you've ever been?
Yeah, I've always said this, you know, make sure you buy a ticket to the game, bring your kids out, you know, because wonderful memories are made at all of our playing surfaces and arenas. In our parks, you know, I've got pictures on my desk of my kids at the athletic event. So just making those wonderful memories are things that will last a lifetime. You know, get others to do the same, bring your neighbors and your friends out to the game as well, but also buy our merchandise, buy the black and gold gear when you see it in the local marketplace. You know, that's very, very important to us to help us tell our story and to continue to increase our brand exposure, not only locally, but regionally, but also nationally. So I always tell people, buy your tickets, get others to do the same, and then buy the gear as well. So that's very helpful moving forward as a program.
We've seen it in football. We've seen it in men's and women's basketball this year, and we saw it in baseball last year. When you get involved, the team seem to win a little bit more because there's more people there to root them on, but also the merchandise, the concessions, everybody kind of benefits when the fans are there and make it a special event.
Yeah, you know, the fans sometimes can will a win, and you've noticed that recently in men's basketball games. If you got fans in the stands, the players feed off that momentum. You got to have that energy and that passion and that enthusiasm, especially at Reed Green Coliseum. You know how loud that place can get. And we're getting 4,400, 4,500 fans in there, and how loud it is. Can you imagine we get 6,000, 7,000, or 8,000 in there, how deafening it can be? And I've seen that before, and I've been here and I've heard it. So I just think it's very important to support our teams, not just men's basketball, but all of our programs across the board. And we're starting to see that. And I just really think that the momentum that we've got surrounding Southern Miss Athletics, I haven't really seen it in the past 20 years, 25 years, so you kind of see that momentum building for us, and it's really exciting. It's time to jump on the bandwagon and be a Southern Miss fan.
Well, hats off to you and your staff because you're doing an amazing job. There's more excitement in and around Southern Miss Athletics than there's been in a long, long time, so keep us posted on what's coming up. Thanks for all you guys are doing, and thanks for visiting with us today.
Yeah, man. Southern Miss to the top.
Brad Smith, Senior Associate AD for External Operations, nice enough to sit down with us today, take us inside Southern Miss Athletics. Thanks, as always, to Jeremy McClain, our Director of Athletics, Jay Ladner, head men's basketball coach, again, Brad Smith, the Senior Associate AD for External Operations, all for visiting with us today as we go inside Southern Miss Athletics. Till next time, John Cox, as always, reminding you of the three essentials of happiness, something to do, something to love, something to hope for. Hope to have you with us next time as we go inside Southern Miss Athletics.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.